If you had one piece of advice for someone getting started, what would that be?
Don't quit your day job. That's first. And the second thing I would say is that if you're going to do it on your, I don't think that doing it on your own will work. I think that you have to have some training. And I think you need a support system. Somebody who also understands, not just there to support you with a pat on the back, but somebody who also understands the technology of what you're doing. It can be a very lonely thing to do if you don't have a group. So I would say, whether it's people who are you're bringing in to be part of your group to sell a product together, or other people who are selling on Amazon who you can have as group members to support you, you need backup in some way.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made 6 career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 148 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share it with other like-minded souls. That's the best way we pick up new listeners. You can subscribe to it on careerpivot.com. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes or any of the other apps that supply podcasts. Share it on social media or just tell neighbors and colleagues. You might even write a review on whichever podcast platform you're used to. The more people we reach, the more people we can help. I am sitting here in Totowa, New Jersey on October 1st recording this podcast intro and outro. When this gets released, I should be in DC. So more on that in a second. But I have an ask for you. Between the bookings and one-on-one guest interviews and editing each episode, this podcast takes time, effort, and resources to share with you every week. In fact, I spend about $400 a month to get the show on the air. Since launching the show in October 2016, and we're about to hit episode 150 in a couple of weeks, I've been humble and grateful for the steady buildup of listeners and by the scores of messages and reviews letting me know that this podcast has had an impact on their career and lives. It is clear that these inspiring and advice-driven stories from experts and people like yourself have made an impact. Wait until you hear this week's episode. One way to accomplish this is direct listener support. Your support would help grow the show and will support people just like you. I am asking for $5 a month, but you can contribute as much or as little as you want. Every penny counts. If the Repurpose Your Career podcast is part of your day or week and you like what I'm doing, please support us in any way you can. Today, go to glow.fm, that's glow.fm/repurposeyourcareer to give. This link will be at the top of the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-148. Repurpose Your Career, 3rd edition, is now available. The book tour has launched. I am in Philadelphia early this week, not as I recorded, but as you receive it, in DC later in the week. I'm going to do a meet and greet this Saturday at the Friendship Heights Whole Foods Market in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Please go to careerpivot.com/launch to learn more. Again, I'm not sure what I'm going to do next week, but it'll likely be the interview I gave with Mark Anthony Dyson on the Voice of Job Seekers podcast, but it could be something different, depending how things turn out this week. This week, I'm playing the audio from a webinar I did with Jean LaFay for the Career Pivot membership community. Let me read Jean's bio.
Fashion is what you see in the magazines and stores. Personal style is how you make yours. Jean LaFay is a certified personal color and style consultant who has spent more than 35 years dressing clients, ages 9 to 90, sizes 0 to 26. Her first career was interior design. Then she discovered she preferred working with the architecture of the body and conducting seminars and writing about fashion and style. Now she has added Amazon entrepreneur to a list of careers, seeking out clever, hard-to-find wardrobe helpers that make getting dressed easier and more fun. This is the third time I've had Jean talk to the Career Pivot community about her journey into becoming a Fulfillment by Amazon entrepreneur. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's pretty cool. Well, welcome everyone. In this session, I am bringing back Jean LaFay, and Jean's been with us twice before, talking about her Fulfillment by Amazon business. And this is be the third installment. So, Jean, how did you get started with FBA?
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me on. Hello, all out there. And I hope this is going to be interesting and informational for you. I got started with Amazon. I have some friends, two sets of friends specifically, who had started doing a course on how to sell on Amazon and were being quite successful, and had several other friends who also joined and were having a good measure of success. And I was looking for something that would allow me to have an expanded income and not have as much day-to-day hourly work as what I have been doing with my consulting.
And what kind of consulting do you do?
I consult people on their wardrobes. I help people clean out their closets. I say that if you have skeletons in your closet, I can either dress them or help you get rid of them. And I also take people shopping and do personal color analysis to help people learn and know what colors to wear and how to dress for their body type.
And you have to understand, I went through this process. I'm an autumn. And she threw away half or three quarters of my clothes and made my wife very happy. With who did you take this course with?
It's called Amazing Selling Machine.
And if you're interested, go out to their way. Just Google Amazing Selling Machine. It's a really fascinating endeavor. They particularly how they show you for free in their videos, how they select products. I thought that was quite fascinating. So how did you get started after you started taking the course?
After I started taking the course, one of the first things that you train on is how to select a product. And that was a long and torturous process for me.
How long was it supposed to take?
It was supposed to take maybe a month or so.
How long did it take?
About a year.
Okay. And this is, and I specifically wanted, Jean, do you mind telling people how old you are? Okay. How old are you?
I'm 71.
Okay. And as you can tell, Jean's a creative, but she's also a creative and a business person. What was the first product you selected?
Well, the first product I selected is the product that I have now. The products that I almost selected, actually, I'm going to tell the story about that because that's the interesting one, is that in the course, they talk about don't be married to something that you necessarily know or that you know about. Be open to looking at other items, maybe having a business that has nothing to do with anything you've been doing before. So I followed that path, and it was totally wrong for me, is that I have a field that I'm very familiar with that has a lot of product potential. So people are always looking for something else that's a quick, easy fix to a wardrobe, and I had no business looking at fans for wood stoves, just saying. So there were quite a number of ideas that I went through, and finally, I just had to understand that I needed to trust myself and that I really did know what sort of product I needed to choose to respond to the audience I already have. Most people who start with this do not already have a following of more than 1,000 people. And I had that, and that is a built-in market and built-in review system and many things that people who are just starting this business don't have. So I really needed to recognize, and I hope anybody who's listening to this now or in the future will recognize, if you have something that you're very good at that does have product potential, then don't disregard what you already know and who you already know.
So you finally decided on a product, and what product was that?
The product is, and I can show it to you, it is an earring back. It's called an earring lifter back that makes earrings sit up pretty. As a woman ages, or even if she's just been wearing heavy earrings, the earrings can droop and make her ears look all stretched out, or they already are all stretched out. But with these earring backs, they make the earrings sit up straight and point forward instead of pointing down. They give a very youthful look to the face. They support the ear so that it doesn't stretch anymore. And they are a very useful product, and they're not expensive. So it's an easy sell. Anybody who tries the product says, oh, I need that.
This is a product that people can get on home shopping networks. How do you compete against people like that?
Well, that's part of the trick. And I'm still learning, is that you don't have to be the number one to make money. That's the first thing you need to learn, is that just because somebody else is making a certain amount of money and the next person is making half that much, you can look and see if there's a spot for you in between them or even just below them that is still going to be a profit. Because likely as not, if you're going to make a success of this business, you're going to have more than one product. As a matter of fact, you may end up with more than 10 or 20 products. And what you need to understand is you're actually better off with 10 products making $5,000 a month or even $2,000 a month than you are with one $20,000 product, because you don't have all your eggs in one basket.
Where are you sourcing this product?
Sourcing from China.
And how did you find the manufacturer in China?
There's a process that the course teaches you about using Alibaba, which is an amazing sort of gathering of manufacturers in China. And they vet those manufacturers and have what they call gold sellers, people who have been with Alibaba for more than 2 years and have been investigated on their fulfilling their orders, and people giving them good reviews, just like people give good reviews on Amazon. You can go to Alibaba and work through them so that if you have any problems, Alibaba can help you take care of the issues.
Okay, so you got your first product. They shipped you, you had them ship all the product to you, and you put the labels on, correct?
Yes. Right? Yes, that's the smart thing to do, is that you have the product shipped to you. You don't necessarily order all the product that they have in the whole world. You want to order a moderate amount, but yes, have it shipped to you. And then you can either, Amazon wants you to use a laser printer for the labels. So you can either go to your FedEx store or you can buy your own laser printer. It's way cheaper to just take the labels to the FedEx store and, you know, for $2 and something, they print the labels for you. And then you put, you know, spend the evening while you're watching television or listening to a book or whatever, putting labels on, and then you ship them to Amazon.
So you got the product up on Amazon, and what happened next?
Well, the very first product that I ordered was a particular shape of this product. And, one of the things they teach you in the course is to do a patent search to make sure that your product that you're ordering from China is not patented in the U.S. because China does not respect the U.S. patent laws. So if you have got a product with a patent on it in the U.S., they may still be producing it like crazy in China to sell in other markets. Or they will sell it to you in the U.S. and you either get stopped or you get by with it. And I didn't know that the first product that I ordered had a patent because it was actually in the process of getting a patent when I was doing the search. And they don't reveal through the U.S. Patent Office that that patent has been applied for. So my product was up for exactly one day. And then Amazon took it down with a cease and desist order because I was in violation of a patent. Now, Amazon is not the one who files the complaint. It has to be the seller. So this other seller saw that my product went up and they had a sharp eye and they had it taken down.
So this actually turned out to be a good thing, right?
Yes.
So what happened next?
So what happened next is that I got in touch with a patent attorney, and the patent attorney had someone who was a patent searcher, and we went looking for another, what I was in violation of was not a use patent, meaning, you know, it's like you couldn't, they were not able to patent the usefulness of the product, but they were able to do what is called a design patent, which is like the little shape of the product. Another similar idea would be is like if you patented a square spatula and somebody else wanted to manufacture a round head spatula, they could do that because it's a design difference. It's not a use patent. So I had research done to find another shape that was not patented. As a matter of fact, you go look for something that's already been sold for more than 6 months on Amazon in that shape with no patent, and bingo, you've got one that you can use because they can't then file a patent for that. So I found another shape. I also found that the name that I had been using for my consulting company, I was not going to be able to get a trademark for it for a product. There were too many companies already using that name.
And that name was?
Panache Images. And so I came up with another name, which is Wardrobe Jazz. And I actually fell in love with the new name so much that Panache Images is going away. And everything is, including my consulting practice, is now being funneled through Wardrobe Jazz. The cool thing about that is it says more about what we actually do. And I have applied for a trademark for that name. And it takes about 6 months to a year to actually get a trademark. So we're about 6 months into it. So just about any time now, that should be coming down the pike.
Let's take a slight break from my interview with Gene and talk about the Career Pivot membership community, which continues to help the approximate 50 members who are participating in the beta phase of this project to grow and thrive. I've been promising some of these testimonials of what people are getting from belonging to this community. So here is what Gene had to say. I've been a member of the Career Pivot community for many months now and have been delighted with the support and guidance that I've received. This isn't a group, and Mark isn't the type of person that makes ridiculous promises or puts you under pressure to get a lot of quick results. Results come from making incremental changes regularly, but they do come. Mark helps each of us to grow in our own way. The community is a comfortable, safe place to discuss our common problems and to work towards long-term improvement. This is a paid membership community where I'll be offering group coaching, special content, mastermind groups, branding sessions, Slack channels, and more importantly, it's a community where you can seek help. Please go to careerpivot.com/community to sign up to learn more. Now back to my interview with Gene LaFay.
So you got you got your new brand. You got a logo and some other stuff. How did you do that?
There's a company called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R, and you go to Fiverr and submit an offer for, well, you're asking people to bid. Say, I want a logo, and here's the sort of business I have. And several people, maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe more, will offer a bid to do your project for you. And I went online and looked at the work of a number of different graphic designers. And I knew some things that I wanted already. And so I put those into proposal, and I looked at the work of several designers, and there was one that it's like, yep, I like what this designer is doing. And so I pursued that with this person, said, yes, I've got, you know, you can have the job. And they gave me five different offerings, and I chose from those and did a little bit of coaching on changing it this and changing it that, but they came up with exactly what I wanted for $65.
If you will go into one of the past trainings, we had Jim Adams, a former member, how he used Fiverr. It's how to use these platforms.
Oh, there's 99 designs.
There's 99 designs, but there's you launch the product again. What happens next?
Well, the next thing that happens is then refining and refining and refining and learning to market smart. I did a launch using Facebook ads, and that worked for a while. They're expensive, and it didn't work for me that well. I went back and changed up my this is over months. This is not like in 2 weeks' time, but over a period of time, I've changed the wording of my listing, changed the title, changed bullet points, keep working on ads for what's called keywords, paying a certain amount to appear in keywords. I had my major image, which is the image that you see when you go to Amazon to search. I had all my photos done professionally to start with, and had to go back for another round for a major image, the primary image, because mine didn't stand out. Now mine stands out really beautifully. The only thing is that about 2 weeks after my beautiful image went up, about 10 other people thought that my image looked really great, so they did that one very similarly too. Very interesting. This is not a business for thin-skinned people. I will say that. You better be willing to get knocked down and get right back up, and get knocked down and get right back up. And sooner or later, you know, you'll start getting the progress that you want, but it's not for wimps.
I also remember when we talked in the second video that we did, you talked about pricing and pricing, how you priced, and when you priced too low, something happened. Oh, it's when your competitors started buying your products.
No, I didn't have that.
Okay, you didn't have that.
Lots of people do, but I haven't
had it. Where besides that, if you're having a really low price, the first thing that you do before you put that pricing up is that you put a restriction on how many somebody can buy, and you make sure that they can only buy one, two at the max. But I haven't had that happen. I've been warned too many times about that, is don't forget to put restrictions on your special deals as to how many somebody can buy.
So you've been running Facebook ads? You've been running Amazon ads?
I ran Amazon ads, and that is my next thing to master, because at this point, that's the only thing left to do that I am not doing really well with. And I'm not going to go back to Facebook ads until I get enough more out of Amazon ads, because they're much more economical.
Out of curiosity, were you running with Facebook lookalike audiences or other kinds of audiences? Where did your audiences come from?
My audience is in general, it's people who are over 40, and the hot spot or the sweet spot seems to be going from like 35 to 65. Some people even make it more narrow to like 40 to 55. I did a little bit broader than that because a lot of the women who are in my age range are still working. It's not like it used to be 20 years ago when everybody retired at age 60 or 65. There's a lot of people, well, it's your whole business to know this. so I'm not going to try and tell you your business. But because of the type of product it is, it definitely appeals to older women.
I always say, I don't know anything about this because I don't have pierced ears.
There you go.
So what has been your biggest challenge going forward?
My biggest challenge has been keeping my chin up. You know, it is not easy. And the other thing is that is really figuring out, they keep moving the cheese.
Yes.
They keep moving the cheese. And it's not easy for me to get answers to how to manage this or that. So having the community with ASM helps. Having people who have already done it before that you can go to as mentors helps. And then just keeping on, keeping on. And then the next thing I have to do is get this product to where it's producing enough to where I can justify bringing on another product and another one after that.
It's rather interesting because I've taken the opposite approach in marketing my book. Is I do run Amazon ads. I've been running Amazon ads for a couple of years, and now I'm moving to Facebook ads. And I took an Ads for Authors course from Mark Dawson. And the one thing he talks about is test, measure, test, measure, test. And particularly with Facebook ads, you will run them for a while and they will work and then they will stop working. And you have to be comfortable with, you have to keep measuring, because when you are, you know, when you're doing this, it's kind of like I've always claimed with social media. When you finally figure it out, don't worry. They'll change. They'll change the rules.
That's right.
And so have you thought about what your next product might be?
I have. I've had a couple ideas. I like this category. I believe in this category, which is actually fashion, or I should say fashion accessories or wardrobe accessories, not having to do with it being actually a scarf or a pair of earrings or anything like that, but wardrobe helpers, I guess, is a better way to say it. A lot of the stuff that I am selling or that I'm planning on selling, you could go buy at a fabric store in what they call the notions department, where they have everything from necklace extenders to different kinds of clasp or something that helps you fasten a necklace or to zip your zipper or something like that. But people who need these things, oftentimes busy people, they don't even know fabric stores exist. They wouldn't know about those things. Or if they do, it's like they'd rather buy it on Amazon where they know they can order it, have it there in 2 days, and they don't have to leave their home to do it. So don't be afraid to sell something that's pretty easily available. Don't discount the convenience factor, because that's what one of the primary things that people, once they finally started trusting being able to order online, it's like they can't get enough of it because it's just so darned easy.
Yeah, one of the things I was, when I went through some of the Amazing Selling Machines, their initial videos on how to select products, it was finding a product that wasn't too popular, but wasn't not popular at all. The second was weight and price. And there was, it was
and
the what
size.
And size, yes. The things that ship easily, that your shipping costs don't go bonkers.
Yeah, one of the things I didn't realize, you're absolutely right about that. I didn't realize how smart I had been, is getting something that ships by air. that weighs less than an ounce, oh my goodness, you can't imagine the headache and heartache that you avoid by not having to ship by ship container, is that your inventory can be replenished within 2 weeks. No problem. And it's just, it's a big difference, and that the size and the weight is primary in choosing a product.
If you had one piece of advice for someone getting started, what would that be?
Don't quit your day job. That's first. And the second thing I would say is that if you're going to do it on your, I don't think that doing it on your own will work. I think that you have to have some training. And I think you need a support system. Somebody who also understands, not just there to support you with a pat on the back, but somebody who also understands the technology of what you're doing. It can be a very lonely thing to do if you don't have a group. So I would say, whether it's people who are you're bringing in to be part of your group to sell a product together, or other people who are selling on Amazon who you can have as group members to support you, you need backup in some way. And so the first thing is definitely don't quit your day job. And second is to have a supportive group, because it's a learning curve.
Yeah, I'm currently in the self-publishing formula Facebook group because I bought their ads for authors course. Mm-hmm. And whenever I have a question, like, you know, I was wondering, okay, when I publish my Kindle book, how long does it actually take when I push the button to the time it actually happens? Mm-hmm. So I put the question out there and people said, hey, anywhere from 4 to 48 hours. But oh, by the way, the 48 hours that happened to someone who did it on a holiday, right? And it's great having other people out there that you can, right? And you have other people out there who have asked questions before you that you can go search. In fact, in many ways, this is very similar to living in Mexico. When I need something, I get on one of the Facebook groups and search.
For expats who are doing the same thing that you're doing.
That's right. And I joke, that's how I found Humberto. Humberto repairs shoes.
That's good.
And Humberto's wonderful, and I wouldn't have found him otherwise because he has an office the size of your walk-in closet, and he has no website. He just has a Facebook, and you know, you find people. So one of the key things is finding your tribe.
Big deal.
Yeah. So with that, I think we're going to close this out, and I think I'm also going to use this on my podcast because I think this was quite good.
Oh, good.
So thank you, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that episode. I really like this discussion with Jean because she didn't sugarcoat anything. This takes perseverance, which is the same story you heard last week from Paul Vogelzang. We will continue to follow Jean's progress inside the community and on this podcast. We will be including links to the amazing selling machine which Jean is working with, and there will be Jean's affiliate link. So if you decide you want to give this a try, Jean can share in your success. She will receive the commission. I will not. I'm doing this as a favor to Jean, as I want to help her be successful. The Career Pivot membership community continues to help the approximately 50 members who are participating in the beta phase of this project to grow and thrive. This is a community where everyone is there to help everyone else out. I am recruiting new members for the next cohort. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor and would like to be put on a waiting list, please go to careerpivot.com/community. When you sign up, you will receive more information about the community as it evolves.
Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Just include in your connection request you listened to this podcast. Look for Career Pivot on Facebook and LinkedIn. You'll also find Twitter at Career Pivot. Please come back next week when I'm not sure what I'm doing, as lots of things are happening on this book tour. Last but not least, support this podcast by going to glow.fm. That's glow.fm/repurpose your career. This link will be the top of the show notes. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-148. Yep, we're coming up on 150 episodes. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, or Spotify, or even a lot of other places. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.